You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast. So what images come to mind when you think of God as deliverer? Maybe liberator? Maybe warrior? Maybe father? Or maybe your mind goes straight to Jesus or King or the Christ? But what about God as mother? What about God as midwife? What about God as a mourner who joins the company of wailing women? Did you know that these images are in the Hebrew Scriptures too? And that this image of mother and midwife and mourner who joins the company of wailing women, these images in the Holy Scriptures are used to describe God. See, the context of God's people make these images of God stick out to me because they are given in response to the tragedy and the trauma that God's people experience, particularly during Babylonian exile. These images show how God's people can move from weeping to new life, showing us that God as mother, midwife, and mourner enters into our struggles, into our trauma, and leads us from brokenness to beauty, from tragedy to triumph. I think these images open us up to see God's life-giving action on behalf of God's people, while at the same time roots this action in a deeply compassionate presence with the suffering, the vulnerable, and the powerless. These images paint a picture of God, one who is fierce and powerful, yet tender, compassionate as the liberator and deliverer that God is. I believe, personally, that these images can teach us how to live in this current moment, how we as His people can uphold the biblical values of mercy, a commitment to life, and show compassion to our neighbors in a society committed to misuse power and show no mercy, humiliate, and destroy life. So I'd like to think about God as mourner today, God as mourner who joins in the company of wailing women. So if you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 8, or you can just kind of follow what's going to be on the screen. But in Jeremiah 8, verse 21 through 22, I'm going to read the text, and then we'll talk about the context. Jeremiah 8, verse 21 through 22. Jeremiah speaking as God, speaking on behalf of God, but God speaking through Jeremiah. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wounds of my people? Okay, now Jeremiah 9, verses 1 through 2, and then we'll read 17 to 20. If only my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for the wounds of my people. If only I could flee for shelter in the desert to leave my people and forget them, for they are all adulterers, a bunch of crooks. Verse 17. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider now. Call for the wailing women to come. Send for the most skillful of them. Let them come quickly and wail over us till our eyes overflow with tears and water streams from our eyelids. The sound of wailing is heard from Zion. How ruined we are. How great is our shame. We must leave our land because our houses are in ruins. The God of heaven and earth, as revealed in the Hebrew Scriptures, the one many people oftentimes see as violent and dominating, right, identifies himself as a mourner, joining the wailing women, weeping over the judgment and destruction, the tragedy and trauma brought on to Judah by Judah's own ongoing disregard to trust God's reign. And of all the images to be chosen, this image of God as mourner, who weeps in the company of wailing women, I think most closely connects to God's tears in this time of Jeremiah's ministry. See, Judah, the southern kingdom of God's people, lost her way. Judah became a place of idolatry, of misappropriated power and misguided allegiances, where too much pride and hope and military and economic power got the best of them. Judah neglected the vulnerable you know, the people that God singles out over and over again from within God's people, the poor, the widow, the immigrant, and the orphan, and the well-to-do citizens of Judah has neglected these vulnerable neighbors. And the consequences of their disobedience marks the promise that God made to them generations ago, that if you trust me and you live in a reflection of my love, blessing and peace will come. But if you choose to go your own way, you'll receive that outcome as well. No peace, no blessing. What Judah should have known but neglected is that blessing and peace cannot come apart from submission to God's reign and the faithfulness to God's faithful love. The reign of sin and death that came into humanity from the Garden of Eden has now come full force to Judah. The Babylonian Empire has devastated Judah. Many citizens have been forcibly removed and displaced. Everything has been destroyed. The tragedy and trauma Judah feels cannot be overstated and may even be too hard for us to imagine, because it's like an apocalyptic scenario. And it's so bad that in chapter 9, verse 21, this frightening image is given to us. Look at the text, Jeremiah 9, 21. Death has climbed in through our windows and has entered our fortresses. It has removed the children from the streets and the young men from the public squares. And in all of this, all that's happening to Judah, God is not pleased by the suffering. He is not happy with the outcome. He is not vindictive. He is not sitting back saying, you got what you deserve. Not only that, God's not stoic and emotionless. No. In all of this, because of God's great love and compassion, God is mourning and weeping. The tragedy and the trauma brought to his own people by their own disobedience and idolatry and injustice has broken the heart of God. God is pictured in Jeremiah as a God who cries a fountain of tears, a God who joins the company of wailing women. And in this text, the tears of the wailing women and the tears of the prophet merge with the tears of God, who becomes the divine mourner who weeps over Judah. This image, as sad as it may seem, is given to us in hope. It's an image of God that reminds us that God mourns and weeps in solidarity with those he loves. And now, I think it's easy for us to accept this when suffering comes to us and or others by unjust means, right? When things are unfair, we have no problem imagining at times this God who suffers and weeps and mourns in solidarity with those who suffer due to unjust and unfair means. But when the suffering or the trauma or the tragedy comes to us or others by our own decision as a natural consequence to maybe sin and selfishness, we can easily have a different view of God. And yet this text reminds us that when Judah's own sin and selfishness, I mean injustice, pride, idolatry, when it came to a natural consequence, God mourns and weeps, because God loves with a holy love. He does not take delight in any form of violence or suffering or tragedy or trauma. And the same God who wept and mourned over Judah, even due to their own choices, is the same God who mourns and weeps over us due to ours. See, Jeremiah shows us that no matter the reason, when God's people mourn and weep, God mourns and weeps. Now, the Jewish tradition has allowed this text and others like it to comfort them in times when survival was necessary and hard, when there were no answers to the why this is happening, right? For example, during the last days of the Warsaw Ghetto in Hitler's Third Reich, toward the end of that, a rabbi is quoted as saying this: the weeping pain that a person undergoes by himself alone, they may have the effect of breaking him or bringing him down so that he is incapable of doing anything. The weeping that the person does together with God, that strengthens him. It is hard to rise time and again above the sufferings, but when one summons the courage, stretching the mind to engage in Torah and divine service, Then he enters the inner chambers where God is found. There he weeps and wails with him, as it were, together. Jewish tradition teaches that when God remembered the suffering of God's children in exile, God dropped two tears into the ocean, and the sound of these tears could be heard from one end of the earth to the other, causing the earth to shake. Jewish tradition believes that there is a power in God's tears, that there is a power that comforts and heals, that it's a power that reminds us that God in all his might is still compassionate and tender and faithful love. God will always deliver his people, but the path of deliverance is often soaked in tears. I think this image of the God who mourns and weeps speaks to us in ways no other images can. In a society filled with violence and injustice, covered in endless arguments and selfishness, a pandemic of COVID-19 and a pandemic of racial injustice, we're surrounded by tragedy and trauma. The image of the God who mourns and weeps reminds us that God sees us and will act. Somehow, in some way, at some time, God will deliver. But the path of deliverance is often soaked in tears. And so again, in the Jewish tradition, including in Jesus' time, there was this community of women called the Wailing Women. And they were called to mourn and to weep with those who suffered. They turned grief from this alone experience to this communal experience. The Wailing Women served as a therapeutic presence for people in times of suffering. They served to comfort in tragedy, and they joined them in their weeping and wailing. They created a grieving community that opened up space for sorrow to express itself in any and every emotion. The comfort of these wailing women invited the person of the family suffering to let the pain be revealed and processed rather than hidden and buried or put off to later. The Wailing Women were a healing presence where trauma was given room to breathe in the presence of a grieving community. And so when Jeremiah offers us the image of God calling for the company of the Wailing Women and identifies himself then as mourning and weeping with them, we see a God who wants to console us, to free us, to deliver us from our pains and traumas. We see a God who takes upon himself our wounds. We see a God who wants us to find courage in his presence so we may begin the process of revealing the hidden hurts rather than keep them hidden or ignore them or at worst, deny them. And whatever raw emotions the trauma and tragedies of life provoke, whatever rage, anger, hurt, deep groaning, sorrow, or inconsolable weeping, God weeps with us. Neither our rage, anger, hurt, deep groaning, sorrow, or inconsolable weeping scares God off his throne. He weeps with us. And in his presence reminds us that deliverance will come. The path to deliverance is often soaked in tears. See, what I believe Jeremiah wants us to see in this metaphor of the Wailing Women, where the sound of wailing can be heard from Zion, is that God comes to his people in the metaphor of the God who mourns in the company of the Wailing Women, weeping as Judah weeps and weeping over Judah. And the thing is, we see this even in the story of Jesus. Like in Matthew's gospel, chapter 23, Jesus encounters religious and political leaders, and he pronounces this series of woes, or another way to say that is a series of condemnations, because of their misappropriations of power and misguided allegiances, and how they've rejected what Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 23, the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Yes, there are some matters that carry more weight than others. Not all things have equal weight. And Jesus uses harsh words throughout this chapter, but at the end, we're told that Jesus is brought to this place of mourning and lament. That he's brought to this place of sorrow. In Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." So even Jesus employs this metaphor for God's tenderness to put it on display in the imagination of the readers and the hearers as this mother hen who wants to gather her chicks to protect them and keep them from harm. But her chicks, her people, are determined to do what is right in their own eyes. They ignore the prophets, prophets like Jeremiah. And yet we know that in just a little while from this text, Jesus' path of sorrow over Jerusalem leads him to a path of tears in the Garden of Gethsemane, which leads him to the path of suffering at Calvary's Hill upon a cross. So we could know that sorrow, tears, and suffering do not have the final word. Our deliverance will come because of what King Jesus has made possible. And even though the path to deliverance is often soaked in tears, God is with us along the way as the God who mourns and weeps. And in weeping with us, God invites us to take courage and begin the process of revealing the hidden hurts rather than keep them hidden, so that when deliverance comes, we can be free. Now, perhaps there are many takeaways from this conversation, and I'll entrust the Spirit at work among us and within you to reveal what that is. But as I think about the image of the God who weeps and mourns and joins the company of the wailing women, I'm reminded from Jeremiah and from Jesus that tears have a way of washing the blindness from our eyes. We can begin to see the truth of our pain and trauma through our tears. We can begin to see that we are not held captive to our pain or trauma, that our pain and trauma may direct us, but does not define us. We can begin to see that deliverance is possible, and that while we wait, God will mourn and weep with us. And maybe that's why Oscar Romero, one of my favorite theologians and a 20th century martyr, once said, "There are many things that can only be seen through eyes that have cried." Oscar Romero's tears of compassion at the suffering of his people led him in his proclamation of the Lordship of Jesus and his courage to call the corrupt leaders and divided people of El Salvador to make straight the path of justice, mercy, and faith because of the love of Christ. And he paid the price. Or maybe it's why Nicholas Waldersdorf, another one of my favorite theologians, after learning his son died in a mountain climbing accident, said, "I shall look at the world through tears. Perhaps I shall see things that dry-eyed I could not." Beloved, maybe it is possible in the image of the God who mourns and weeps that tears can set us free. Tears can wash the blindness from our eyes to see ourselves, our neighbors, and our world more clearly. Tears can make our hearts tender and strengthen our souls. And when it comes to a society divided and hyper-politicized, filled with all sorts of injustice and sin fears, tears can break down the barriers, especially when they're tears of compassion where grief is shared. Like Jeremiah, when our tears merge with God's tears, we are able to remember that because the path to deliverance is soaked with tears, deliverance is sure to come. And while we mourn and weep, God mourns and weeps with us.
You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.